Hello and welcome to this podcast about service level agreements, and it's subject to our normal disclaimers on the website, and we really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Dan called me up and said that his customer was demanding a service level agreement, and Dan hadn't come across a service level agreement before and hadn't really thought too much about it and didn't really know what it contained. And so I went on to explain to Dan why a service level agreement was being requested, and then we found a solution as to what to do next. So this is a recap of our call in terms of service level agreements. Now, when Dan asked about the service level agreement, I explained that normally this is required when a customer wants to make sure that the services are going to be up to scratch. Now, Dan was providing services, but the big question was to what standard? Now, the customer was expecting Dan to come up with an agreement where Dan would pinpoint the standards to which all of these services were going to be provided. And a key point is that when describing the services, one can't measure every single aspect of the service and have a 0 to 10 on it. So instead of that, what normally happens is you choose various points in the service which are to be measured, often called KPIs or key performance indicators, and you list those, and then you say, for example, we will always achieve as a supplier perhaps 95% compliance with this target. So often you might see it in terms of IT contracts where there's a certain uptime and you have, let's say, 99% uptime, and that is a key performance indicator in the service level agreement. So you have a service level agreement with various KPIs. You shouldn't have too many KPIs because then it gets very complicated to manage and very complicated to understand. But the point is that if all those KPIs are met, then the customers should get a pretty good service. The point then leads to, well, if you miss those KPIs, then what happens then? Well, what normally happens is there's something called service credits, which are essentially compensation for a client if the KPIs are not met as agreed. Now, the compensation is quite a complicated calculation because it depends how many times a service level wasn't met, the period over it wasn't that it wasn't met, and also in some cases the results of what's happened due to that service level not being met. However, the service levels are normally capped so that they can't go above a certain amount per month, and the way they're operated is by project managers monitoring those service levels and coming up with their monthly reports. The cap on service levels typically is between about 5% to 15% of the monthly fee. And what a supplier wants to make sure about is that the service levels aren't just seen as a discount by the customer, so that the customer is always claiming service levels in order to reduce the price of the services. I think that from experience, one thing that I've noticed is that service level agreements can take an inordinate amount of time to negotiate, and also an inordinate amount of time to actually manage and come up with the right service credits. And from experience, when I was talking to Dan, I said that actually, although you might have service credits, what may be useful for both the supplier and a customer is to think about having action plans. Because if you think about it, from a customer's point of view, getting small amounts of money for breaches in the service level agreement isn't that good. What it really wants is for the problem to be fixed so that it gets a really good service. So one of the things that Dan and I considered was to put in more into the service level agreement in terms of action plans and how those action plans would be rolled out, and how further resource in terms of money and manpower would be allocated to certain aspects of the service if those services weren't up to scratch. And the customer actually having discussed that with the customer, was very pleased with that because it was a far more practical and sensible solution to having lots of service credits in the agreement, which even if the customer got those service credits, wouldn't help it much in terms of making sure that the services were up to scratch in the future. So in essence, service level agreements are in place because the customer wants to make sure that the services are provided are up to scratch. The services are often measured in terms of KPIs, key performance indicators, on certain aspects of the services. And if those KPIs are not met or exceeded, then there may be service credits payable. But it's always worth thinking about suggesting action plans in addition to or in place of service credits in order to give the customer some kind of comfort that the services will be provided in a way which it's happy with. So I hope that this short podcast is helpful in terms of what service level agreements are about, and I've written a book about service level agreements which you can find on Amazon. It's Jimmy Desai, Service Level Agreements, and that book has far more detail about what service level agreements should contain. And if you have any queries on service level agreements, then please do email me at jimmy@coachinglaw.com. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and do log in to other podcasts, legal talks, and also videos that I've done, and I hope you enjoy them. And as always, this podcast remains subject to all the disclaimers on the website. So if you do have any specific legal issues or problems, then do consult your own solicitor or legal advisor to help you with those problems. Thanks very much, and look forward to seeing you soon.